Now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers Radio with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. You know, got a whole bunch of that stuff. On the show where you can find help and hope. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny. Nice to be here in this rainy Florida.
Oh, my God.
It's nasty the monsoon.
Out today. But
it's
you're warm.
Still warm.
You're warm.
I'm happy.
So you're frozen in Boston, huh?
I did.
Well, we're glad you're back. I missed you last week.
I only have to say happy half birthday to Nicole today.
Oh, happy half birthday.
It's her half birthday today. Jax is tomorrow.
Oh, it's so funny. So first I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Brenda in Coral Gables, Rhonda in Naples, Julian in Seminole, and Gina in Largo.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners and more friends.
Yes.
You can listen to us on AMFN like you are now, or live on YouTube and Apple iPods and Facebook, and we're taking over. But it's, you know, it excites me every time we have the opportunity to go on another digital format, because it's just more caregivers that we can reach.
Yes.
And caregivers really need the help, and a lot of them are very isolated, and just one little thing that they hear on the show or come into a speaking engagement can make a big difference, and that makes me really happy. So this week we have two special guests on the show. We have my friend, author, and speaker, Pat Valancourt, and we're going to chat with you in a little while, so welcome, Pat.
Thank you.
Glad you're here today. And we have my friend, Tom Duper, who's been on the show before, probably about a year ago, I'm thinking.
About a year, yeah.
And you're back today, and we got a lot of good stuff to talk about that, too. And
good deal.
I'm really happy about that. So, last week, or the week before on the show, we had Ann Royer, and Ann Royer is the inventor of the Meal Lifter. And the Meal Lifter is like a platform for a plate. It's designed to make meals easily accessible for people who have a hard time getting from the plate to their mouth because of Parkinson's or because of whatever it is. So it's probably about a 5-inch high kind of thing. And now they just have a little less place to go, and actually they can put their elbow on the table and just eat like this. So we had made a comment on the show that anyone that made a comment on YouTube or Facebook or whatever that we would put into a drawing. So the person that won the Meal Lifter is Frank Salvatore. And where is he from, Frank? We'll be sending... I got it here somewhere. No, I don't. We'll be sending that out to you today. What's kind of cool is the kid that used to live across the street from me when I was a kid, his name was Frankie Salvatore.
That's all you remembered his name, but not where he lives.
That's why I remember
his
name. No, it wasn't him. We did chat. It wasn't him. So that's kind of cool.
Does he have Parkinson's, did he say?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's going to be so... Yes. You know, my husband had it. And, oh, my goodness, everything was around the floor. Because he just... So we ate sandwiches a lot.
Yeah, it makes it a whole lot easier.
It's tough.
It's the things you have to figure out.
Oh, if you only knew.
Yeah. I've been working on my presentation all week, the new presentation, the Dementia Dance, when to lead and when to follow. And that's a lot of stuff to talk about, too, because the more education you get about behaviors and about diagnosis and about what to do with your loved one can really make the journey a whole lot easier. I always say that your caregiving experience can be the most horrific experience of your life, or it can be close to beautiful depending on how you handle it. So please come out when we have speaking engagements, when we have workshops, when we have support groups, and tune into the show and the Tuesday tips, because we're here to help you. And I know... For caregivers, like, they can't even think straight most of the time.
No, I wish you were
doing
this when I was going through it.
I know, that's what a lot of people say. I wish
a
this,
lot
I
of
wish
hurt
that.
Would have been
well, you know
there.
What? So much I didn't know either at the time that I learned after, or I just learned on the fly, you know, wherever it was. So, Pat, let's chat a little bit.
Okay.
So, I met you how long ago now? 10 years or so?
It's 10 to 12 years. We were in a business network at a church in Clearwater.
At Unity in Clearwater, yeah.
Yeah. And we've had a long and interesting relationship. We've been in BLS, She's seen me give talks in different ALFs.
Yeah.
But also quite a number of years ago, her granddaughter just got engaged. I used to help her with daycare occasionally. Yeah. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful. Yeah. You used to do Reiki on the kids?
Yeah, I used to do Reiki because I've been a Reiki master. It was wonderful. Yeah, and she's just got engaged. She doesn't need daycare anymore.
No.
She'll need it for her kids.
Yeah, she's the one who's driving around now picking up her little brothers.
Right.
So, Pat, you've had quite a journey in the past 10 years. I know you had a divorce, and then you met a wonderful man, and then, so you tell your story.
All right. Yes, I have had a journey. And you mentioned about hope, and I'm going to tell a story today that I'm sure can bring hope to people. It's going to be a little bit difficult in the beginning, but it's good. Yes, I went through a divorce, but then I met a wonderful man, and he was much older. He kind of fooled me how old he was. He wined and dined me, then I found out. But we had 5.5 good years. He passed this May. But the real story, and he was involved in it, in May of 2018, my life changed. You know, you always hear those aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of those aha moments. I walked into a chiropractor for a simple adjustment, and sadly, the adjustment turned out to be a nightmare. It was over-aggressive. He was not aware that I had osteoporosis. I ended up with a broken back. L3, 4, and 5 were completely compressed. And about 4 months after that, my sacrum split. So basically, the base of my spine was gone. The pain, I cannot tell you. I've always had a high pain tolerance because I taught Zumba. I was a dancer. I ran. I did nanny work, walked 5 miles a day. So, you know, I was used to a few aches and pains. But this was over the top. So the next 6 months we spent, and John was there with me, thank God, two back-to-back surgeries, putting me back together. And then finally in March of 2019, I had to go into rehab because the sacrum was just fractured.
And you know, Pat doesn't sit still.
I don't sit still.
Right. You know, that had to be tough for you.
That was tough. The lesson. And I know when people get diagnosis of Alzheimer's, dementia,
cancer, whatever.
Cancer. All of a sudden, it's like a bullet hit you. And you mentioned your husband had what, Lynn?
Oh, he had dementia, Parkinson's.
Yeah. So your life is going to change. And that's what happened. I was a dancer. They used to call me the Energizer Bunny, the firecracker. Now I'm with a back. I could only perhaps be up an hour or two a day, and then I was down. The other issue was I could not bend, lift, or twist. Because with that, they call it the BLT, no bending, lifting, twisting, so you don't forget. So in an ordinary day,
you just do it.
You do it. You don't think.
Right?
Now, that's been one of the lessons that I have learned. Handicapped people, I have a certain amount of permanent handicaps now. You know, I'm 71 years old. They're not going to wave a wand over my back and restore it. Everything is healed, but I still have those limits, the bending, the lifting, and the twisting, because I do not want to go through. But I have a home health aid that is wonderful. I've simplified my house. You mentioned, you just talk about the thing that helps people eat. I had to learn to slow down and think every step. What do I do to make it easier?
Yeah.
So my home health aid has reorganized my closet, so everything's at my level. There's nothing up high.
Yeah,
I have paper plates, so I don't have to load and unload a dishwasher. Yeah. So you think through steps, which in a way is a blessing, because I think I was running through life at 100.
Opens you into the moment, that's for sure.
You're in the now. You have to think, and you slow down. You also look, like listening what you just talked about with those meals, what other people have to go through and endure. You know, so you gain...
Because we take for granted our health.
I took it for granted. And I was blessed. I had 70 years as a dancing firecracker. They can tell you that down at JD's and Indian Rocks Beach. I'm a VIP member down there. But what really happened in the story, too, that I want to tell... By March, the pain was so strong, the sacrum, the spine was swelling. Oh, they had me on morphine, so you know the pain was high.
Mm.
And John had contacted earlier in the year, in the fall, pneumonia. He was not going to beat it. At this point, he came to the house. he was dying. I knew it as a Reiki master, but right. I knew it as a partner. So now I can't move on a couch. My pain is just almost indescribable. I never understood that type of pain and how it can zap everything. And John is probably going to pass, which he did. He passed a month after I got out of the rehab. So I gave up. And this is not the Pat Valancourt that
right.
Linda knows for many years. My father was a Japanese POW. I tell these stories in assisted livings, war stories. And he taught me you can't give up. But here's why I gave up. The system failed me. I tried to get a hold of a psychologist. This is unbelievable. They'd tell me she's not accepting patients. Or I finally got one, waited 6 weeks, walked in the door, and she said, I don't take that insurance.
Oh, no.
So I had no help. I did not realize I had post-traumatic syndrome. Because when you're traumatized, Lynn was just in Boston. I had friends that were standing at the Boston Marathon when people had their arms and legs blown
yes,
up. And I had a friend that watched it. She didn't get hurt, but she had...
Yeah. So she was in it, though.
She had PTS.
Yeah.
She had to stop working for 2 months. She couldn't sleep. So I
Weren't you in a coma at one point?
I was. So what happened? I'm laying on the couch. John's dying. Nobody can help me. I have a boy in California, a boy in Massachusetts. I said, I'm done. I'm a burden. So I took 45 painkillers. That's what I did. Never in my life would I thought I'd do that. But you're going to laugh when you hear this story. So the boy, I emailed everybody first and told them where the assets were. So my lovely son in Merrimack, Mass, was a sheriff. He said, this is weird. Why is she doing this? Thank God he saw this, because I was serious. I mean, 45 painkillers, I'm not crying for help. I'm going to the other side, transition time. So Jeremy called Largo Police. And fortunately, he knew I wasn't a... He called me, and I was talking like I was drunk, and I hadn't had a drink in 10 years. I don't drink. So they came in, and fortunately, he stayed on the other line, and he said, it's not heroin or cocaine. My mother doesn't do drugs. She's a Reiki master, a healer, a speaker. So they cut off the Narcan, and he said, here's the only two things she takes for pain, and it was baclofen. So they rushed me out, called the boy... my other son was in a meeting in Boston. He's a vice president for Bristol-Myers, and he flew down. Now, what happened, thank God they knew it was baclofen. I was in a coma. I had no brainwave. I had a DNR. So my poor son Adam is sitting there saying, oh, my God, I'm going to have to pull the plug. Can you imagine this? The dancing VIP is going to go. So I don't remember anything. But I could hear. When you're in
a
coma,
you can still hear.
I could hear. So when you have loved ones that are sick or near the end, I could hear. And Adam looked up baclofen, and this is very interesting. I was not brain dead. The neurosurgeon thought I was brain dead. Baclofen is a muscle relaxant. My brain was relaxed to the point that it wasn't working. So... fortunately, he has access to a lot of websites. My kids saved my life, as I did many years when they were teenagers. And he said, her brain is asleep. She will wake up. Now, folks, where do you hear this?
And you can hear this.
I can hear all of this. I hear the neurosurgeon say to Adam, but if she wakes up, she could be damaged, not able to talk, not herself. Right then and there. And if anybody knows me, I'm a talker. I'm an extrovert. My mouth opened. I couldn't talk. I went, because I was intubated.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but I was alive. And it was amazing. 2 days later, I was the star of Largo Med because I was talking, telling stories, entertaining the nurses, entertaining the doctors. But what I had to do, and I had Reiki masters, I've been a Reiki master for 25 years, coming to there, doing Reiki on me, it's a form of...
Very important.
Very important. I used to do it on her grandchildren, Linda's grandkids, when they were young. Form of healing, people praying with me. My church brought a prayer quilt. And at night when the pain was horrible, I'd say, angels, come. Now, I think the real way I beat it was my son Adam stood by me and was in that room The whole week I was in intensive care.
Aww.
He got his computer. I mean, he has a big job, so I got to hear all these conferences about biotech, the latest cures for cancer. He's in cancer and immunology research. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming out in the next 4 or 5. So that was interesting. I wasn't laying there, you know, pitying myself. Also, I went back to my father, Joe. My saint, my mentor. He was a Japanese POW. I had interviewed in my lifetime 70 POWs. How do you survive?
Right.
So I was a prisoner of pain. They were a prisoner of war. And this is the hardest thing, folks, and if you have dementia, family members, whatever, cancer. It's called the power of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
But don't think it's easy. And that was the other thing. I had 3 prayer partners and 4 unity ministers talking me through this every day.
You had a team.
I had a team. Took a team. And what they said, and if you know Thich Nhat Hanh and the Buddhists, you have to accept where you are. Now, at first, you want to scream and yell, choke a few people. And then you say, well, I'm going to waste the energy.
Right.
My father used to say that. I was a POW. I had to accept it. I had to look at, understand the Japanese, understand their methodology, learn Japanese, so I could survive. And he did. He made it to almost 80.
You know, when people come into a support group,
right,
many times it's like, why are you here? Because I'm just at the end of the edge. I don't know what to do. And my life was not supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
My life was not supposed to be this way. And the other thing they always say is, what happened to my family and friends? Now, you were very lucky, but some people aren't.
Yeah, I was
lucky
very lucky.
That.
Yeah, I had ministers not. You know, that's what I was angry too, Linda.
My life was not supposed to be this way.
I worked out every day. I was a nanny. I walked 5 miles a day. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I was a little wild, but in terms of my body health and my attitude, did Reiki regularly, acupuncture.
So what do you do today now to keep
now
up?
What I do? And I want to go back just a second on the power of acceptance. I had to say where I was. And they told me, accept where you are and every day count the little blessings. So there were the blessings. I had people helping me. I had people praying. I was getting Reiki.
Right.
I had a son next to me, so I didn't sit there all day moaning and groaning, talking to him, learning. So what I do now, I count every little blessing. I have, this is the other thing, it takes guts. They told me that I was in Freedom Rehab. You could just get a parking space, Patricia, get in a wheelchair and roll around. Get one of those things and put the motor on and go. And I said, no. Then I saw Maya Angelou many years ago. Maya Angelou said, if you do that, you're in a parking space waiting to die. So I did the rehab. I did the exercise. I do restorative yoga. I'm in the pool every day.
Oh, that's good. The pool's
water
really
walking. And now I can go down in my JDs with my walker. I can dance. It's PT with music. But it took guts because there were days you were in pain, the aches. And I said, you know what? I remember what my father did. You know, he did the Bataan Death March. You just have to go. And now I have great PT people. They say, I'm healed. But it's just going to be time. Muscle memory. It's been 18 months of atrophy.
Right.
Little balance issue. I may always need a walker because of safety.
No, you won't.
All right, I won't. But I got a pink, wild, sexy walker. Everybody wants to buy it everywhere they see me. So I'm happy now.
How's the pain?
My pain level is very low. I'd say 1.5. Thank God. And I have mercy for anybody that has to live with constant pain. And I have
until you're in it, you don't have a clue.
You know,
don't have
a clue. I had a cold before Christmas, and I was coughing so much, I threw my back out.
Yeah.
For 3 days.
Right.
I was in agony.
Right.
I don't know how. The back pain is tough.
Back pain is tough. And I accepted John's death. I knew he could hear me. He was in a coma the last week. So I said, honey, I love you. We had good times. I took you everywhere. He loved New England. He loved chowder. He loved lobster. He loved whole belly clams. He was from Toledo.
Oh, I love all that.
You loved those whole belly clams. Yum, yum. So he had a good time. He was almost 88, and he was ready to go. So I, with his son, you know, we took him off life supports, and he went. So I've accepted that. I feel
now it's a new chapter.
It's a new chapter.
And you'll see where you go from here and what you do, and I know you'll do fabulous stuff.
You're still young.
I have to tell you something. I took a course this summer with a great national trainer and speaker from the Unity Movement, Tamara Reeves, teaching a course called Living in Uncertainty. Mm. Well, guess what? You live in uncertainty every day. You don't think you're going to get cancer. You don't think you're going to get hit by a car. You don't think you're going to get Hodgkin's.
Right. You don't think somebody in your family is going to get sick, right?
You don't think anything.
Right.
And she heard my story, and she said, you're going to tell the story. So what I would suggest to people, if you can, get to a support group. Get people around you. I couldn't have done it without that.
No, you can't.
The prayers. I'm very spiritual. The help. The Reiki. My acupuncturist came to the rehab and gave me acupuncture.
Yeah.
So,
but people will reach out to you. You have to accept it also.
Yes.
That's another thing. Because many times people do reach out to people. Oh, no, I'm okay. No, I'm going to do it by myself. No, I'm angry.
Yeah. Can I answer that? Well, one day, you know, I was always the superwoman. And I said, this is crazy accepting help. My father was a little strict with me raising me because he was a POW. Yeah. And he said, always be independent. Then one day, this beautiful minister up north, Dave Topkin, said, you know, help is a two-way street, Patricia. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you helped a lot of people. When they help you and you say thank you, it's a blessing to them. Because they know they've done something.
Yep.
And he said, don't you ever be afraid.
And I was fearful. Whatever you put out there comes back to you.
Right.
Good or bad. And you put a lot of good stuff out there. So a lot of good stuff came out back to you. And you were allowed to accept it. And I think that's really important. And I want caregivers to think about that. When somebody wants to help you or whatever, take that help. But we need to hear from our wonderful partners right now. Because you know the story.
Thank you, Linda.
If you don't hear from them, you won't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211. In Pasco, call 813-280-4383 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call. Vox Life realizes that people of all ages and walks of life are focused on wellness and optimal performance. Wellness consumers are looking for products that will enhance the quality of life and are asking for natural, safe solutions for more energy, pain relief, and enhanced mobility. Well, Vox Life is the answer. Vox Life has harnessed the power of neuroscience and neuroactivation and spent 6 years developing HPT. HPT instantly improves the user's strength, energy, stability, balance, and range of motion while providing natural pain relief. And this is done so easily with their socks and insoles at a very affordable price. I know when I go to the gym, I can see the difference immediately when I have my Vox Life socks on, and they also have helped many of my caregivers and their families. For more information, go to www.voxlife.com /caregivers. They've helped me and they can help you too. That's voxxlife.com/caregivers.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
Yeah. I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Yeah, think about it, caregivers. Think about letting somebody help you. And, you know, I'm just thinking now, we're going to talk to Tom in a minute about what he does. Sometimes someone could maybe just help you get your photos together. You know, something that you don't have the time to do because you're taking care of somebody. Or just each day do a little bit. I know, let's talk about what you do first before I'm getting into the whole blabbing story here. So tell us about I Celebrate Lives and how you make people cry.
Yeah, that's when I'm introduced, that's usually my one-liner is that I do make people cry, and in a good way, I hope.
Yeah.
I'm retired for several years now and just kind of fell into this naturally because I had friends that they knew that I was writing my own life story, and they said, you know, so-and-so is going to pass soon, or or I have a 90th birthday coming up and I'd like to do some sort of presentation. And so I started doing presentations, like celebration of life presentations. And but mostly what I do is I restore old photographs. I digitize old format videos so that...
But I love what you do. I mean, you showed me a picture one time and the person had no arm in the picture and you made an arm in the picture.
I made an arm,
you know,
yeah.
That's really cool.
Me in Photoshop, yeah.
Thank God for what they have today.
That's
for
true.
Sure. But you made for my husband, Tom, a video about a year or so ago.
Yes.
And it was just like five of our favorite songs and a whole bunch of photos. But what I'm saying when I say about people helping you.
Yeah.
So, yep, it was you. So time was pressing because I wanted that for a certain occasion. But every time I would invite my daughter and my granddaughter over and I said, let's go through the albums. And it would be an hour later and we were still on the first album because we're telling a story. We're crying and we're doing it. So finally, she comes over one day. She goes, you got 15 minutes each album. No crying, no laughing,
yep.
No nothing. You just got to do it. But she
and
really helped
it.
Me do it.
Yeah. But you're the most organized person I've ever met. I mean, you've got bookshelves with stuff
yeah.
that's, I mean, and nobody does that. They have
except
a
her.
They have a box in the crawl space that they haven't seen for 15 years, and it's got slides in it that they haven't
right,
seen in 30 years.
Tapes.
So a lot of the work has to happen before I get involved because I don't know where your photos are. I don't know where your
who
videos
the people are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you changed all our VHSs into CDs or DVDs.
Well, and today, you know, you put them on, you put them in cloud storage. You give people access to the account, and they can download them. They can do whatever they want to with them. In fact, we're doing that now with my family. my older brother just died, and we had sort of a mini reunion, and we decided to collect and pool all of our assets together, all the photographs and so on, and put them in cloud storage so that our children, their children, can get a glimpse into our family and our history. So it's a great thing.
I still think it's important, though, people. Today's everything's so digital. Please print out some of those photos. Please make a photo album. Because when you're sitting with somebody, when you're 100 years old and you're sitting there talking to somebody, I don't want to see it on your phone.
And they won't be able to see it on their phone.
Yes, and I don't want to see it on your phone.
Right.
So please print out some of those pictures, at least the important ones. With us, we had to go take a roll of film, and maybe 22 of them were crappy, and there was only two good pictures on the roll. Today, you can just go and delete and erase and everything. But please print out those pictures. They make a big difference.
What did we get, about 20 done?
Yeah.
Tom did for us? Yeah. I tell you, though, Tom, the funniest story is, I think your grandson was over, and somebody, and we were going to play some of these, and my husband was in it with her husband. My husband passed. The language of the two of them. We had to take the kids out of the room. Yeah, you must have had a ball doing that one. Oh, my goodness. You know what? We're so used to hearing those words from them.
That you don't hear it.
We didn't. I thought, Tom must think we're lovely.
But that's part of the history. I mean, that's kind of who.
So why do we tell a story?
To cry.
That's the first question I get in a lot of cases. I have no story to tell.
Everybody has a story.
But I was... For the 15, 20 minutes that you were telling your story, it was unbelievable that you've come through all that. But that's got to be documented somehow. Right. That's got to be saved so that your...
And you can encourage someone else.
Yeah, your children's grandchildren can know that this was part of their heritage and take strength from it.
Right.
And that's the question I get asked the most. Why would I want to tell my own life story? I've done nothing.
Yeah.
Well, but you have.
Right.
You know, you've lived a life. You've made acquaintances. You've done things.
You had jobs.
And a lot of, I think, what's lost today is everything is digital. Everything is instant. So we've got all these photos and stuff and all the storage. But nobody lives their life. They record their life. But they don't.
They go to concerts and record it.
Yeah.
How not fun is that?
How can you be in the moment when you're, so.
Or people sitting and having dinner texting each other.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean,
that
we go out all the time. I mean, you've done it. You see four people sitting around a table and they've all got their phones.
Right.
We're fortunate enough to have my daughter moved in with us for a month with her two daughters. And we went back to having dinner at the table.
Nice.
We went back to talking about what was the best thing that happened to you today.
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst thing that happened to you today? And sharing that. And the rule was no screens.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
You can do that later. And we ended up playing cards at the table.
What fun.
Yeah.
What fun.
And these are the memories that, you know, my soon-to-be 17-year-old and soon-to-be 14-year-old, they will remember sitting at the table and playing cards with their grandfather.
My sister-in-law just came down to visit my husband and some people, and the other day my daughter said, I always remember Grandma saying that her happiest times was playing cards. My mother-in-law passed away years ago. But we did all the time. We always played cards. She said, so I told Dad, I'm coming over here. And they all went over and they had a card game. It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was just so lovely.
Yeah, and it's $3 for a deck of cards.
Right,
and that's it. That's your total expense. You don't have to. There's no video games.
Right.
Upgrades. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's the reason you tell your story, is so that future generations. I mean, your children kind of know your story, but I wrote a kind of the first 30 years of my life about 4 or 5 years ago, and I put it together that was my Christmas present to my five daughters on that. And they said that it's the best Christmas present they've ever gotten in their lives.
Yeah.
Because there are things and you talk about, language and things like that. They say, I can't believe you did that. But I did, I did those things. And here we are. And that's the power of this, that we all want to know where we came from.
Right.
We all want to know what our roots are. And this is a way for you to tell your own story, the things that are important to you, the things that you've lived through, the things that have influenced your life. I mean, I've been 72 years on this earth, and I went back and thought about all of the life-changing and world-changing events that we've experienced.
Yeah.
And I look at my granddaughters, And 9/11 happened before they were born.
Wow.
The other day, somebody gave a 16-year-old a telephone book, a map, a real map, and an old telephone. What's this map?
Yeah.
They said, look up Joe's auto body. The kid couldn't find it. She didn't know how to use a phone book or anything. And then when she got to the phone, she's trying to turn the whole dial, like the whole thing. But they never saw it before. They don't know.
Yeah.
It's true.
They don't know.
Tom, it's interesting. I was out in California visiting my grandson. And he's only in second grade, and they had to do the family history.
Oh, cool.
He got DNA. So I had documented, very interesting as you do, my dad's story of being a Japanese POW and surviving 3.5 years of imprisonment. So I had brought out some of the documentation. One of the things I brought was the original telegram. Well, the little kid looks at
that telegram.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's a telegram? Now, here's the two funniest things. It's so important for them to understand how things operated. And he said to me, Mimi, when your father was captured, why didn't he just pick up a phone and text his mother that he was with the Japanese?
Right.
This is what he said.
Because that's how he works.
That's their world.
Yeah. I said, Lucas, they had no phones.
What do you mean?
I said, the Japanese sent a telegram. What's a telegram?
Yeah.
So it's important to them to understand the world. And then the other thing he said, I don't know these people. They're all dead. But I said, Lucas, they all have a story and a lesson.
And they're all part of you.
They're all part of your blood.
I had somebody interview Tom, and we have recording right. about his life. Now, I've been with Tom since I'm 19, so I know just about every story. Mm-hmm. And I knew that his mother was the Boy Scout leader, and I knew he was in the Scouts, because I've heard that 100 times mm-hmm. before. But I never knew that one time they had a show, and they needed a girl, and his mother made him be the girl. And he was like 12 years old. And the woman who was interviewing him said to him, boy, she must have had to really bribe you for that one or something. And Tom said, no, when my mother asked me to do something, I did it.
There you go.
So I think it's so nice for my grandchildren to hear that. Yeah, for them to hear that.
That's a normal thing today. Yeah, and
my stepmother, all the time, I'll say to her, come on, tell me some stories. I have no stories. Well, once we have champagne, we have stories.
Oh, story,
and
yeah.
I'm like, tell me the story about the first night you met my dad.
Yeah.
About the first date. I wanted to know about that. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what I think the saddest thing is that they don't teach the clock anymore.
Mm. Yeah,
children don't know how to tell time.
No.
But
they're
only digital.
They don't know how to make change anymore.
Right. Right.
Do you know Naima?
Cursive writing.
Naima is 4.5. She tells time on the clock now.
Good.
Yeah. Nice.
Good.
Well, her mother's a teacher. But she says, I know, Mommy, that the 10 is 2. If it's 10 after. The 10 is 2,
oh,
right?
That's good.
Yeah.
So, Tom, tell me about some of the workshops you do.
Well, I do a life story workshop, which is sort of a roadmap for, because the second question, the first question is, why should I tell my life story? Second question is,
how do I do it?
Where do I start?
Right.
Because, you know, I've got, in my case, I got 72 years to cover here. So I put together a booklet that is sort of a roadmap that takes you through the various aspects of your life very, very methodically and over time, you know, mm-hmm. high school years, grade school years, your faith background, what the politics were important, you know. So it's a step-by-step process that leads you to a lot of work, basically, because when you start to think about what was my grades, for example, when we went to elementary school, what was that like? You know, what was the desk like? Who were the teachers? What did we learn? What, you know, we had desks that open and had the little inkwell thing.
Yeah.
Inkwell.
Yeah. I love the inkwell.
And when they did the air raid, we had to get under our desks and people don't understand, you know, what was that all about?
Right.
But so we remember things as moments in time. We don't remember a lot of, you know, I can't tell you, we took so many vacations that I can't tell you from start to finish any one vacation, but I can tell you moments within those vacations that just stood out. And I know that there's a photo somewhere, or I know that there's a video somewhere, or even if there isn't, I remember that distinctly. You know, I remember as being a kid raised in Cleveland, we had certain things that we did every holiday season. We went to Sterling Linder Davis, which is no longer there, and we saw
this. What is that?
It's a department store.
Okay.
When they had department stores, and they had a 60-foot Christmas tree there, And we went and we sat on Santa's lap. My life, by the way, is the Christmas story. You know, I'm Ralphie. I mean, same age. That was filmed in Cleveland. When we were up there last time, we actually visited the house. If you want to go and see, you have to pay $8.50 to see the – and it's just the exterior. They didn't do anything inside, but and the gift shop. But that's the point, that you then have to search. There are names that stay with you, and you don't know why.
Yeah.
There was my grandfather on my father's side, my paternal grandfather, left his family in Ohio, moved to Florida in 1921. No one really knew why. He moved to St. Petersburg, which is kind of the reason that I'm here now. But I had only met him twice in my life. My father took my three brothers and myself down to Florida when I was 6 years old to see him. So I'm 6 years old and expecting to meet my paternal grandfather for the first time. And he was staying with his daughter, who had also moved to Florida at the time. And he had a room on the back, the kind of Florida room. So he was sort of bedridden. He was very old and so on. And we got there late at night and we all slept. And in the morning, I jumped into his room and I said,
Hey,
how you doing? And he says, shut the hell up.
Oh, God. Cranky old man.
You kids are making too much noise. So my first experience with my paternal grandfather was not the best. But I have a picture that was taken during that trip of he and I standing on the front lawn. And so that, you know, that picture, all of those things started coming back. And so when you see you see the photo, or you know, all of a sudden all these things start to come back. And it's just, it's almost like a geyser, you know, you just start writing and writing and writing.
Right, start going.
Yeah, and it's incredible. So if you have a recording device, I mean, you can do it on your phone.
Right.
So do it.
Yeah, do it. Okay, it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800. Largo 727-559-8411 or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're off. No, we're not off. We're still here. That means you need to get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I do.
Yeah, you do.
On January 15th, from 10 to 11:30 a.m., with registration at 9:30, at Arden Courts of Largo, is a free dementia education seminar, the Dementia Dance. When to lead and when to follow, with guest speaker, Linda Burhan.
Oh, that's me.
RSVP to 727-559-8411. That's the first time you'll be doing
that's
that?
That's my first presentation with that. And please come, and please RSVP, because I know people told me they're coming and they haven't RSVP'd yet. People, they want to figure out for food and all that kind of stuff, so please RSVP.
Good idea. On January 19th at 2 p.m. at 1400 New Haven Drive in Largo, Linda Burhans invites you to increase brain function with Vox Life. If you have any questions, please call Linda at 727-365-8383.
And we'll have the Vox people on the week after next on the show, so we'll be talking a lot about that.
And that's really important.
It's really important.
I put a new one on today. I wear the patch. On January 22nd at 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Beverly Hills is the 6th annual Coping with Dementia Family Caregiver Conference. Expert speakers will address your caregiver needs. There will be information tables, a light lunch is included. RSVP to 352-422-3663.
Yeah, and that's a great event. And this, I was supposed to be part of that event, but something's come up now and I may not be able to.
Oh.
But there'll be other wonderful speakers there, so please go.
And then on the second Saturday of every month from 9:30 to 11 a.m. at Arden Courts and Seminole, Linda Burhans facilitates a caregiver support group to help family members navigate their journey of dementia caregiving. RSVP to 727-517-7800.
And what's great, too, all the support groups that I do at either Arden Courts Seminole or Arden Courts Largo, if you need respite care for your loved one, you can just call ahead of time and you can bring your loved one. And your loved one will go in another room and they'll do some entertaining with them while you're at the support group. So you really have no excuse now.
And so, at Largo, it's the fourth Saturday.
The fourth Saturday. Seminole will be the second, Largo's the fourth. But please consider doing that, because once the person comes to the support group the first time, they're hooked. Because they just realize that they're not alone and they get other ideas and other kinds of suggestions. So it's all good. So Pat, what's the last thing you want my caregivers to know and hear about? You're struggling. What?
It's
okay. Well, I think you hit on two excellent points. acceptance. And that's not easy.
No, it's not. But if you keep avoiding it.
And the other thing, you waste energy. You're going to be lost in anger. I'm going to make a Buddhist retreat next month in Sarasota. There is nothing but uncertainty. So the more you embrace it, then your energy can go towards healing or doing what you need to do or attending one of these support groups. And then I think the other thing that you said so clearly today was, and I battled this for a while. I always thought I was the most strong, the mighty woman. Yeah. Accept help. And now I enjoy help. My home health aide loves coming to my house.
I bet she does.
I'm one of her favorite clients.
Sure.
We have a ball. And I enjoy her help. My house looks spectacular. We sit down, we do things.
Yeah,
and
that's nice.
It's wonderful. And I wanted to add one other thing on what Tom said, why to do your history.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so many lessons for my grandchildren about their great-grandfather who survived the POW, and I interviewed 60 POWs. I also do talks in assisted livings on World War II, and I think realizing what those folks went through, that greatest generation,
mm-hmm.
when I was having one of those moments I wanted to scream, I said, no, they got through it. I'm going to do one this week, and there were 77 nurses, I'll wrap up in Bataan, that survived. All 77 survived. They took care of 3,400 civilians. And you know what they ate the last 6 months? Cold cream with nuts and berries, because the cold cream had fat in it.
Wow.
So you know what? If they can do that, I can shut up and go to PT, even though I'm
and
making.
And be grateful I have PT.
And be grateful, and they enjoy me at the PT. So that's it. I've learned a lot from these talks.
But and, I think the acceptance is the biggest part, Pat. I really do think the acceptance is the.
It was hard.
I had
to have four ministers kicking my head and talking to me. And I know Linda knows that power, too. So if you're looking for some talks, I do have a website, Power Sense Trainings, and I love doing them.
And all the information will be on my website.
This is a battle of the accents today.
Yeah, this is
Boston versus New York.
I was also going to say
Midwest.
Yeah, and I'm Canada.
She's a Canadian.
Here's a fun thing. Linda was saying, "Live in the world." She always says, "Live in the world." Well, when I go out to these facilities, the 94 and 95 year olds, they may not know what happened yesterday.
But they're in your world.
They'll tell you everything about 1944 and where they were 44. On Pearl Harbor Day, and they got their first kiss on VJ Day. So this is a great way to stay in their world. They remember.
And just to keep them active.
They remember.
Have a conversation. No, everybody wants to be a part. Everybody wants to be accepted.
Right.
So that's what we have to think about when we're leaving people sitting in chairs, and when we're taking everything away from them, we don't let them do anything anymore because it's faster for us. So we have to realize who we're serving at that time. All right, Tom, what do you want to tell our listeners, the last things they think they, and some tips of what they should do, and you're going to give me your information, I'll put it on my website.
Yes.
I already have your company on my website, but I mean any workshops you're going to do or anything.
No, I don't have anything scheduled yet. I'm too busy with the Honeywell retirees, but every life is important. Tell your story so that future generations will know who you are, warts and all, and be happy that they know their history and the roots.
Well, you know, one of my girlfriends told me she was interviewing her grandpa, and she said he was always like old and crotchety and everything. And she said when I started interviewing was when I first found out that he had a heart, because he had had a tough life.
Yeah.
So everything was tough. And she said when I was finally old enough, and he was old enough to sit down and want to talk to me. She goes, I found out he was really cool. She goes, and if I hadn't taken that time, he would have died with me thinking he was a grouchy old man.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, tell your story.
Yeah, tell your story. Everybody has a story, and they're interesting because you can relate to it. So please tune in next week. Caregivers, when someone asks you to help them, let them give you some help. All the information for Pat and Tom will be on my website. I really appreciate your time. I know it's not so easy for you to just sit down and listen to a show for an hour. But I do hear that a lot of the caregivers say their mothers think that we're very funny. So that's okay. It's like a double thing there.
And it's raining today anyway.
Yeah, it's raining today anyway. And tune into the Tuesday's tips. I'm going to continue those. I find that a lot of caregivers are really liking them. So they're short, they're on iTunes, and they're on Facebook. So tune in again next week for Connecting Caregivers. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand, and nothing's gone. Your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I'll come running.